I don't know if you're like me, but I'm driving down the road and I notice over on the side of the road, somebody started clearing. And my thought is, wonder what they're doing there. And then a couple of days later, they start pouring the foundation. I'm like, wonder who's building that house. And then the walls start going up, and then the roof goes on, and then they put the brick or the siding on, and I'm just observant and noticing, and if I can, maybe you're not like me, critiquing. That's a big house. I would have done this maybe a little bit different. If Tracy's with me, we might pull over there and go in and check it out. So you know what? I would have made that bathroom a little bit bigger. I would have had three sinks in there instead of two. Just observe it. Well, do you ever just step back and notice not your house, but your home? A lot of times we're in the grocery store and somebody is got this out of control kid in the buggy and they're throwing stuff and they're yelling stuff and you're just like, somebody needs to straighten that boy out. Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're critiquing their home. Do you ever critique your home? Some of you are saying, well, my kids are grown. I'm done. No. They come back to visit. You're not done. You're still married. You're still showing Jesus. Do you ever step back and say, God, are you pleased with my home? How can I improve my home? Acts chapter 10 introduces us to this remarkable guy, Cornelius, a Roman centurion. That means he was a military commander, had 100 men underneath him. Rome would have recognized him for his leadership. His soldiers would have remembered him. He's a man of courage and strength. But when God remembers him, he remembers him as a devout man who feared God with his house. If God was to write the epitaph over your home, what would he say about your house? Not the neighbor, not the guy who's just driving down the road and say, man, look at that house. Let's go check it out. No. What would God say, not about your house, about your home? Four truths to make your home last for all of eternity. Sermon I've entitled, Home Construction. First truth I want you to see, notice verse 2, the plan for the home. Says of Cornelius, he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. So Luke does not just say he feared God. He says his house feared the Lord. Cornelius intentionally built a home where God was the center. God was in the atmosphere of his home. If I were to walk into your home or you were to walk into our home, you would notice certain things that show the atmosphere of your home. If you were to walk into our house or if you were to walk into my office over there, Tracy in our home has this big Georgia Bulldog flag right there in the corner. So if the Georgia Bulldogs are playing and if they're winning, the atmosphere of our home is that big G, and sometimes it's for God, sometimes it's for Georgia, because Tracy's running through the house with that. There's an atmosphere of every home. What is the atmosphere of your home? If it's sports, the schedule revolves around the tournaments, the games, the practices. If it's academics, and there's nothing wrong with academics, everything revolves around grades. You got to get those scholarships. You got to do better and you got to improve. Some of our homes revolve around entertainment. What's the next trip? What's the next event? What's the next day? We're going to go to the lake or go to the beach or go to the mountains or what are we doing on video games? What is the center of your home? But what would God say the atmosphere of your home is? God, in talking about Cornelius, said he feared God. And so did his house. The home is God's first classroom. Long before there was a tabernacle, long before there was a temple, long before there was a synagogue, there was a home. And God says, you are to pass your faith on to your children. Now, none of us are perfect parents. None of us have perfect children. But how are you doing? Are you focused on passing your faith on to your children, to your grandchildren? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 says this, and these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto their children. And notice this, it's in your heart first, and then you teach it, but it doesn't just say you teach it, it says you teach it diligently. Remember Joshua? Remember what he said? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't poll his children, he led his children. This is the direction. If you live here in this house, this is going to be a Jesus house. And we're going to proclaim and we're going to live Jesus in this house. A lot of times on Sunday morning, to wake up the children, especially if Reagan is at home, I'll put on the Christian music and I'll put it on really loud. Yeah, it's 7:30 in the morning. Tracy doesn't have the muffins ready yet, but they are listening. Oh, Jesus, only Jesus. And they're saying, Dad, why at 7:30 in the morning? I was like, because Jesus is alive and well at 7:30 in the morning. What is the atmosphere in your house? Let's say that you and your wife decide y'all are going to build a house. And you're interviewing a builder. And the builder comes over there and you show him these plans. Hey, we met with the architect. Architect charged us a lot of money. But this is going to be our dream house. And we want you to build this house the way the plans call for it to be built. And the builder looks at you. He looks at your wife. He looks at the plans and says, I don't do plans. I'll just build this way for a little bit, and I'll build that way for a little bit, and then I'll build that way for a little bit, and I'll build that way a little bit, and we'll cover it all up. And it'll be pretty when I'm done. And you say, no, sir. We have plans, and we want you to build our house according to our plans. Can you do it? He said, no, I don't do plans. I just build this way a little bit and that way a little bit and that way, and then I build that way a little bit. You would not hire that builder. God has given us the plans in His Word. If you want to build a home that glorifies me, you have to fear me. And you got to get your children to fear me as well. And that has to be the central focus. And somebody's saying, no, I don't do plans. We'll just do this a little bit today, and we'll do this a little bit tomorrow. We'll just go that way a little bit the next day. And God says, no, no. If you want to build a home, I'm going to tell you how to build a home, and it's building it around Jesus. Number one, the plan for the home. Number two, notice, the patriarch of the home. Notice what the first three words of this verse say. It says Cornelius was a devout man. So before he influenced his family, he first surrendered himself. The word devout means consistent. Day after day, week after week, month after month, he was just consistently living out his faith. Devout means intentionality. He intentionally ordered his steps every day to follow God. You say, okay, I want my children to follow the Lord and to fear him. Good. Mom, you do it first. Dad, when everything's going great in your life, you follow the Lord. And when everything's going horribly in your life, you follow the Lord and your children will get it. Children are remarkable observers. They learn more by watching you than by listening to you. You can lecture. You can nag. You can preach. But, and I'm saying you probably should do most of that. But the best thing you can do is live it before them. Living a devout life before them, and they will catch it. Children, remember what they see more than they remember what they hear. Parents may emphasize, well, we go to church. But if it's just a preference when we go to church, the children see that. Parents may say, oh, well, we're honest people here. But when you're in a tough situation, do you cut corners? Kids see that. So you say, okay, I want a home that honors God. Number one, you have to live a devout life before your children. Remember Paul? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So he understood that those people were looking at him. He had to live the life and encourage them to follow his example. Hey, Dad, Mom, your children are following you. Are you following Christ? Is it obvious to them that you are following Christ? You know the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat? Thermometer shows you how hot it is in here. Pardon my grammar. It don't do nothing about it. It just says it's hot. But, and you got some people that are fanning. It's hot. A thermostat, on the other hand, changes the temperature. It brings it from 84 to 79 to 74. Can I get a witness? To 68. Amen. Woo! You know who's to be the thermometer and the thermostat in your home? You are. God says, this isn't right. Children are to honor their parents and the Lord because it's right. If they're not honoring the parents, therefore you, the thermostat, need to do something about it. You are changing the atmosphere, not in an abusive way. No, no, no. You're teaching them. We live what this book says. It's not just suggestions. It's what we live. And in this house, we are going to serve the Lord. If you were to come to our house, out there beside the house, we have this apple tree. Guys, I think it's a couple slides after this. I want you to put it up. The problem with this, oh, it's crooked. If you'll turn your head that way, you can see it. It wasn't like that when I made it. The situation is ruined. The example is ruined. I don't know what I did wrong on that. Here's the deal with that apple tree. It leans. It's crooked. Now, trees are to go north to south, not east to west. Some of you are leaning over like this. This is the bomb of illustration. Hey, Scripture says kids come out of the womb speaking lies. What's going to straighten them up? The Word. And a parent that is living the Word, modeling the Word, enforcing the Word. You know what we had to do with that tree? I went to Lowe's and they said, here's what you need. And they sold me a really expensive piece of hose that you're supposed to wrap around it and you stake it off. I said, will it work? They said, it should. You see, the hose on there and the stake on there is not on there because I never did it. And my tree is going crooked. children naturally will go crooked if we don't have parents straightening them up. You, mom. Yeah. You, dad. You're the thermostat that changes the temperature toward God. We're not doing what all the other kids are doing. We're not just fitting in. No. We are going to be different. We are followers of God. And so when His Word tells us to do something, we do it with a good attitude. Number two, the patriarch of the home. Number three, notice the practice of the home. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house. And then notice what the last part of the verse is. Which gave much alms to people and prayed to God always. The fear of God always becomes visible. Luke writes, the evidence for Cornelius' dedication is this. Cornelius feared God. How do we know he feared God? It affected his wallet, and it affected his prayer life. A reverent heart becomes generous. God reveals and he touches your heart, and you stop being stingy, and you start being generous. So, it was obvious and it was visible that he feared the Lord. Because he got stopped being so tight with his money. So it's in the text. Let me just go there. Where is God in your monthly expenses? You say, well, God don't need my money. No. You need God in your finances. And if you're not generous in your finances, there's a problem with your devotion. Cornelius was generous to everybody, but God was part of it. So his fearing the Lord affected his finances. His fear of the Lord affected his prayer life and prayed to God always. How's your prayer life? If we could do anything in the average home to increase the Jesus factor and the God focus in your home, would be to turn up the prayer in your home. How much prayer is taking place in your house? Preacher went to call on a family that had just lost the father. He's sitting there in the living room, and he noticed on the floor beside one of the chairs, there was an indention in the carpet. The preacher says, what was there? The wife said, that's where my husband prayed for our family every morning for 30 years. And it was visible on the floor, but his children grew up knowing, my dad prays for us. Practice of the home. What is the practice in your house? Is prayer a priority? Is generosity a priority? Before you eat the meals, do you pray? Before the kids go to bed, do you share a verse of scripture with them and then pray for them? Scout's honor. Tracy will confirm this. The other day I was leaving and I had left the boys a list of stuff I wanted them to do. And one of them was cleaning, brushing stuff. I was like, boys, let me pray for y'all before I leave. And so Tracy's there, the two boys are there, and I'm like, and this just kind of, I wanted them to be awake, and it was early, and they were half asleep. It's like, God, help these boys to get their chores done today. Don't let them get bit by a snake while they're doing their chores. And they just blew me off. Yeah, Dad, you're trying to wake us up. Got home that day. Hayden comes up and says, Dad, guess what we found? I said, did you find some money? They said, nope. We found a snake. It was a copperhead. I said, what'd you do with it? They said, we offed his head. Like you're taking after your mama. when we had our prayer time that night. I was like, who protected you from that snake? I said, God and the shovel. Work prayer into your homes. I challenge every one of you. If the kids are gone, are you and the wife praying? It'll make atmosphere a whole lot better. I encourage you, put scriptures on the wall. So when you're not even there, the word is dwelling in them richly. So that they're getting it even when you're not around. So they're walking down the stairs and there it is. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Just have scripture around the house and pray. Number three, the practice of the home. Greatest influence you will leave your children is not your money. It's you praying over your children. I just wonder how many of us are living in the blessings of parents and grandparents that prayed over us every day. And here we are, they're gone and in heaven, and we're still reaping the fruit of praying parents and praying grandparents. Don't stop. Give it to your children. Pray and pray. It says he prayed to God always. Then when everything was perfect, they prayed. And when everything was awful, they prayed. Number three, the practice of the home. Let me give you one more. I got 4 minutes and we'll be done. Notice the purpose of the home. Fear God with all his house. You get to the end of Acts chapter 10. Something incredible happens. Peter arrives. The gospel is preached. The Holy Spirit descends. And the entire household and others come to Christ. That is no accident. The atmosphere that Cornelius cultivated prepared his family for salvation. You cannot make your kids accept Christ. You cannot make your kids do what's right. But you can prepare the atmosphere so that the atmosphere they're growing in causes them to bend toward Jesus instead of bending toward the world. The work of regeneration belongs to the Holy Spirit, not to parents. But parents who faithfully lead their home toward Jesus, the children have a tendency to follow. Let me show you this in Scripture. They're going to put it on the screen. Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come, that's grandchildren, the praises of the Lord and his strength, that's testimonies of the Lord and his wonderful works that he has done. Do you ever just sit down and talk about God's goodness to your children and to your grandchildren and to your nieces and nephews? Hey, we can talk about sports. We can talk about politics. Do you ever talk about God? Say, hey, there was a time we were in this accident, but God spared us. There was a time we had financial issues, but God brought us through. That's what he's talking about. Look at the next verse. For he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. What's he talking about? Getting the word into those kids. Getting the word into those grandchildren. I realize, grandparents, you don't have them as much as you had them when they were kids. But whatever you have them, get Jesus into them. Pray in them. Pray over them. Look at the next verse. Make them known to their children that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born in the future. That's grandchildren, that's great-grandchildren, who should arise and declare them to their children. That's great-grandchildren, that's great-great-grandchildren. Look at verse 7. This is a get out the hanky and wave it the way some of these ladies in the choir are doing it. That they might set their hope in government. Know what it says? that they might set their hope in the president. Not what it says. That they might set their hope in their job. That's not what it says. That they might set their hope in their spouse. Not what it says. That they might set their hope in God Almighty. That's grandchildren. That's great grandchildren. How do you get that? Back to the church. Showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord. You singing. Maybe it's not 7:30 in the morning. You cranking up the music. I don't care. As long as Jesus in, I don't care. But you just, hey, he's good. All the time, his goodness is running after me and running. You testifying, hey, in this situation, God delivered us. And he was great. Susanna Wesley wanted to pray for her children, but she had, listen to this, ladies, 19 of them, and she had every one of them. So she, the kids knew, when she took the apron and put it up, some of you ladies can't get over 19. Yeah, 19, and she didn't have all that medicine either. Put the apron up over her head. Mama's praying. Don't interrupt her. This is what John Wesley later said of his mom. Those moments when my mother had the apron over her head shaped my life more than anything else she ever did. Are you praying for your kids? Some of you say, well, they're only two. You're 2 years too late. Start right now. You say, well, they're 28. Good. That means they probably got another 40, 50 years. Pray for them. Pray for them always. Every time they come to mind, pray for them. Pray for the fear of God to rain down upon them. Pray for those children. Cornelius died. Rome replaced him with another centurion. His military accomplishments, well, they faded. His rank, well, it disappeared. His medals probably went into the drawer. 2,000 years later, God's word still records his greatest accomplishments. Wasn't the medals. It wasn't the accomplishments. It was, he was a devout man that feared God with his house. No condemnation today. Encouragement today. A lot of stuff pulling on your home. A lot of stuff pulling on you parents and you grandparents. Well, we got to do this and we got to do this and we got to do this and we got to do this. Can I tell you what needs to be first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. I wish I had a picture of this and it wasn't sideways. When I was 12 years old, my brother and I, they were building houses down the street. My brother and I decided we were going to both build competing tree houses and see who could build the coolest tree house. So we would go down there and we asked permission from the builders that were building the house. Hey, can you just put all your scraps in a pile and we'll haul it all for you? They did. So Nolan and I would go down there on our little bicycles and we would have some kind of trailer we were pulling, and we would put the 2x4s and the plywood and everything on those, on the wagon, and we'd take it back. And Nolan built this one treehouse over here, and I literally built a 3-story treehouse. Kind of glad I don't have a picture of it. You're building a home. Is God pleased with your home? I'm not saying you got to have the fanciest. You got to have this certain kind of countertop and this certain type of floor and this certain type of doorknobs. I'm not talking about houses. I'm talking about homes. You build your home on God's word. Here's what I'm asking every one of you to do. If your kids are at home, if you don't have kids, they haven't arrived yet, or your kids are having kids of their own, recommit yourself. God, whoever comes into this house, we want them to know this house fears you. And whoever comes through this house, we want when they leave to have experienced some Jesus while they were in our house.